There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Not Your Average Joe, the podcast that'll make anyone a little less average. I'm your host, Joe Franco, and I'm sitting here with a cup of tea. And I wanted to bring you this episode because this is something I've been doing a lot lately. I've been doing it on journaling calls with Joe Club. I've been doing it on my own. I did it with my partner.
Did you think something dirty?
No, it's planning. And so I've gathered a bunch of tips to help yourself plan the year. Because if you're anything like me, you've probably already tried to squeeze 12 months worth of tasks into like 10 days. And that's just not gonna work for any of us. I've put together some beautiful printables for your 2024 planning, and they cover a few bases like travels, your ideas, big ideas that you want to brainstorm and develop in the year, as well as quarterly kind of planning and a general what do you want to do in the major buckets of your life. There are no rules to this, and I think that's all that I need to tell you before we get into it.
Cue the intro, sis.
You know she's not your average Joe, not your average Joe.
Now let's set expectations. I am a business owner. I love learning languages. I'm really big on family bonding. I have a bunch of friends. I have a relationship. I own a house. I travel all the time. So the planning that I have had to learn how to do has been trial and error. What I learned from last year is that I will no longer focus on what I do not have working for me, but instead I'll work on what I do have working for me. For instance, this time last year, I was panicking on financial kind of P&Ls. I didn't think Joe Club was making the money it should have been making. I went into panic mode and dove myself off a cliff by cramming things in last minute. It was not a good look. Now, from that learning, we've already planned a full 12-month calendar of the themes and the sessions that we're going to be hosting. I know that I have 4 retreats this year. They're blocked in the calendar. I've plotted most of my travels in the calendar. There might be better tips on the internet. I'm not saying I'm an expert, but here's what I've learned about planning an efficient and well-rounded year. Before we go forward, it's always important to look back. My planning always starts with reflection of what happened last year. Like I said, I took inventory of what worked last year and what did not work. And for the first 6 months of the year, I was scrambling with scarcity mindset, trying to fill all the holes. And instead of investing energy towards what I was already doing well, I completely abandoned what I was doing well, i.e. the podcast, videos, content, and I started focusing on all of this admin back-end stuff that no one knew I was doing. And while it did help and I learned a lot, my team was scrambling and I was scrambling, and overall, it wasn't the best use of my time. And that was my learning from 2023, which is why planning 2024 was a giant priority starting around September and October of 2023. A big chunk of my planning begins with thinking about what worked from the year before. The first journal prompt I'm going to ask you is what worked and what did not work. And it could be various things. It could be that you didn't have enough time to do certain things, or that you were always procrastinating and deadlines were creeping up, or that you barely saw your friends, or that you were dating and the dates were pretty bad and you didn't feel good about it. And don't forget to include various elements of your life, like friendships, romance, money, career, family, spiritual goals, wellness goals, health goals, intellectual goals. Think about what those categories look like in your previous year, and more importantly, what you want them to look like this year. A few other questions that I encourage you to journal about is what energized you from the last year that you just experienced? What activities, people, places, and environments allowed you to feel like your most vibrant self? And what activities lit you up? What did you find yourself geeking out about or always trying to tell your friends about? Because odds are you want more of that in your next year. So now, once you've done this reflection work analyze what you've written like an outsider. This is a judgment-free zone. So you're just going to take a look at what you wrote and then maybe underline things that really stuck out to you. For me, 1 year when I did this, I realized, oh yeah, I should probably schedule some language classes because I haven't done that. And that was something that I felt like I was always talking about and never doing. And that kind of segued into this giant new phase in my life where I'm an active language learner. Another thing that could be creeping up for you as it did for me was, well, I wasn't as active as I wanted to be. I wasn't out in nature as much as I craved. So now I have that in the back of my mind and on paper that I want to plot some nature trips, some walks around the neighborhood, and adventures are important to me. But the key thing is it's really tough to plan correctly unless you do this retrospective backtracking. You got to digest what just happened in your life, and then you could process it and move on. The next step in the planning process is to set meaningful goals. Of course, there are surface level goals that society might tell us that we need to hit, and these are different for every culture and country, but for the most part, there are specific goals like get a degree, get a job, get into a relationship. Like, those are goals that I would ask yourself if you want those goals, because you don't need to follow the traditional goal setting timeline. So that's number one. It's like, take a look around you and see what goals you have on your list that are actually yours versus the goals that other people and other pressures are imposing on you. So many people that I know are chasing goals that they actually don't even want. And that's why it's important to do the reflection in part one. Another technique that I always use is to identify the major buckets in my life from these journal entries. So for instance, for me, I break my goals down into categories: personal, and that includes adventures, friends, family, romance. Then there are my professional goals, finances included, so money falls into that category. My wellness goals, mental and physical wellness, and intellectual goals. So identifying the learning and skills that I want to acquire in the following year. And I usually make quadrants on my piece of paper to say, okay, these are the goals in these categories. And something else that I want to add, because I do a lot of journaling sessions and things come up like this all the time. Many people admit that they are guilty when they assign themselves goals that are seemingly self-centered. For instance, I want to train for a half marathon. And I've heard people, especially women of color, say that they feel guilty for creating a goal that is not directly benefiting anybody else or isn't directly benefiting some monetary or success metric. And my rebuttal to that is always like, well, if you train for that half marathon and you do the half marathon, or even if you don't, the fact that you create a goal for yourself that is uniquely for you and you fulfill that goal, or you basically keep your word to yourself, your confidence will grow. And then you basically just start showing up to your life in a more pizzazzy way. I never feel like self-development and growth is selfish because it helps you show up more confidently, more secure in yourself, more just like present in other aspects of your life. There might be a limit, like too much self-development is probably a thing too. Too much productivity can get a little daunting and just like annoying. But overall, like if you want to do the half marathon, do the damn half marathon. And think of it like hygiene, emotional and mental and physical hygiene, working out, taking care of yourself, reading, learning. Those are all acts of hygiene so you could show up feeling squeaky clean. And then there's a framework called SMART goal setting, which stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound goals. So SMART goals is this framework that allows you to create goals that are easy to identify. For instance, like some people might just put, I want to read more on their goals list, when in reality, there's no way to measure that because that's not specific, it's not time bound. So a way to turn something as generic as I want to read more into a SMART, all capitals, goal would be to make it specific. So I want to read one book every month. There's a specific goal. It's one book. It's measurable because it's one. It's achievable. One book a month is totally achievable. It's relevant because it's going to be a book that you choose and it's going to be relevant to what you love. It's time bound within 1 month. The easier way to look at it is just like make sure that there's a time assigned to the goal and that there's a trackable, measurable quantity. So when I set goals, it's like make 2 podcasts past this month. And that's realistic, that's specific, that's measurable, and it's time bound. So try to think about how you can translate most, if not all, of your goals into these specific and time bound, measurable, trackable, achievable goals. So now you've probably already started writing. So take a look at what you've written so far and see how you can convert the goals that you have into SMART goals.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The next tip is to get a little corporate. A corporate planning session is lengthy. It takes maybe weeks on end. I always look at my calendar when I'm starting to think about the next year in a 12-month view. So really looking at a full year, what is the next year of my life going to look like? And then I start plotting points of what months am I going to be traveling? What months do I want to do launches? Looking at the month with holidays in mind. So, okay, we know Christmas is happening. We know Thanksgiving is happening. What does that mean for where I'm going to be in the world? What does that mean for what my company is doing? And then I fill in the gaps. And once I have the full 12-month scope, then I'll look into the quarters and define, given my overarching goals for the year, how do I look at quarter one, which is January until March, quarter two, April until June, quarter three, July until September, and quarter four, October until December. And I break down my big, big, giant goals. And even my word of the year, how do I put those focal points based on quarter. It's helpful to think about the seasons too in the world. If you live in a place with seasons, you already know that there's a winter, spring, summer, and a fall. A cool exercise that I did with Joe Club was breaking down the symbolism of the seasons. So for instance, if you're in a creative winter, you're in hibernation. Things are happening underground. You don't see the trees, you don't see the leaves, but things are happening underground. This might be a resting period. And eventually, once you've hibernated, you can blossom into a spring, which is when you start seeing the tiny little seedlings that you planted. They start to bloom. In the spring, tons of rain comes down, which means a lot of pain might be shedding. There is tremendous power necessary for things to grow underground. So you're going to be working hard in the spring and continuing to plant those seeds. And on the subject of planting, one of the big thought starters that I kind of started this framework with, the season framework, which is not creative at all because I'm sure people do this all the time, but I started Googling how many months did I need to germinate tomato seeds before fruits were actually ripe enough to eat, because I like planting. And I found out you need to plant tomato seeds 3 months before. So you got to plant them in the winter if you want to see them in the spring. And I was like, damn, yeah, that's symbolic as hell for business and friendships and fitness. Most good things in life take at least 3 months to start showing fruit. And that does not even mean that it's in this prime ripe season. That's just like you see that the work you put in wasn't for nothing, but it takes 3 months. And as a undercover hippie, I love to look at nature as a way to reframe my impatience. Because if nature can wait 3 months, then so the hell can I. Another reason why it's really important to break things down into quarterly goals is because it'll look easier. It's easier to digest 3 months than it is to be like, I have 12 months of things to do. Zoom in on your quarters and try to pick focal words, focal vibes. You might even want to assign them to seasons. For instance, like in the summertime, I will take time off because I want to feel like it's summer. It can match where you live or it could be totally opposite. You know the rhythms of your life, and so you can assign whatever season you feel like you need around that time of year. Another tip is to get realistic, because I know y'all are out here making 5 million plans, and try to have it stack and be strategic with how you actually attack your goals. For instance, if one of my goals is to make money, and another one of my goals is to write, and another one of my goals is to learn language, I, being a crazy person, would likely start writing in a different language and making videos about it, and then eventually that will make me money because I have used different things like affiliate links, or I could sell language courses, or I can promote Joe Club Fluent. So it's all about stacking habits. Another example I've told you guys before, if you've heard this pod, I wanted to run more. It was winter time, so I needed to buy a treadmill. I wanted to learn language, and I wanted to post content on social media. So I started posting videos of me learning language with Pimsleur on my treadmill using the affiliate link. And then I ended up making money while working out and learning a language. Like, that's the 2024 energy that I am hoping for all of us. It's major habit stacking. So take a look at your list and strategically try to think if there's a way to align multiple things. You could do this in other ways too that has nothing to do with money. For instance, if you miss crocheting and you also wrote that friendships are important to you this year, why not look for a crocheting circle online or in person, or even creating one so you could meet people with similar interests? There are ways to make things more efficient, and no one is going to tell you. That's the hard part. It's a really fun exercise. I love doing this so much, but it'll help you because we don't have that much time. And if you have kids or work or you're in school, you're already stressed. So including your goals on top of the to-dos that life has already thrown at you seems daunting, but there are ways to make it work. Another way that I kind of hack the system is that I will look for loose time in my day. So when I'm doing my makeup, I could be on the phone. So I'm on the phone with my boyfriend catching up. When I'm making my coffee, I'm doing Duolingo because that's how long it takes for the water to boil. When I'm running on the treadmill, I'm either listening to some language lesson or I'm listening to an audiobook. When I'm cooking, I'm also doing the same thing, either catching up on the news or listening to an audiobook, because I have multiple goals and I am also doing things that I can stack. Picking up loose time also means being a little bit disciplined on, I'm sorry. Many people do many things to avoid their actual goals and things that they know would make them happier. So this also came from a Joe Club session. One of my facilitators and members, Jamie, shout out to you, Jamie. She started talking about how she's a gamer and she actually works in video games. So she needs to play video games for her work. But when things got too out of hand, she started assigning gamer days and non-gamer days. And so it inspired me to do the same thing with my weakness, which is binging Netflix, binging Disney Plus, binging streaming platforms in general. So now I'm on a new kick of Tuesdays and Thursdays are streaming days. Every other day I'm gonna read, I'm gonna do puzzles, I'm gonna still relax, but it's not gonna be streaming because that affects everything else. I sleep worse, I waste so much time, and it's just not a good look. And if you can, try to bake in contrast in your day. That's something that I've started doing as well. And by contrast, I mean you wake up, you do a workout or a tiny yoga session, then you go to work. And then in the middle of the day, maybe you listen to an audiobook that's entertaining to you. Then you go back to work. Then you take a coffee break, talk to a friend for 20 minutes. Then you go back to work. Creating the kind of day where you're enjoying yourself and getting things done, I think that's better for sustainability, because if all you're doing is cramming on work, you're gonna burn out. And you could probably do that for 1 week, but you're not gonna be able to do that for the whole year. Contrast is key. Schedule blocking is one of the best tips that I can give you. It was an exercise that I did in college, and it was the first time I visually saw how much I was trying to do. There's nothing like making 7 columns on a piece of paper and just saying Monday through Sunday, and physically drawing in what you plan on doing during the week for you to realize quickly, like, you gotta either habit stack or move some things because they are not priority. Scheduling in general, I think it's such an underrated skill and an underrated tool that I'm probably gonna make more content about it, because I live on schedules, and it's elastic scheduling because I move things around. I rebook flights, I change things up. But I really firmly believe that having a schedule and having a plan will get you way further than if you didn't ever create one, because you're creating a map for yourself that will ultimately get you to the end goal, even if it takes you a little longer than you anticipated. The fact is, once you have a map, it's hard to sway off track. It's hard to get lost. But if you don't have a map, hello, honey, all you are is lost. And of course, as you know, I'm gonna tell you, baking in some self-care, and this is, I'm like preaching to myself here, baking in some self-care is really important. Some days I wake up and I'm so stressed that I'll just take the whole morning to journal and I don't give a damn. So if it means moving deadlines, telling people I'm sorry, I can't. I've also started doing spa nights or like solo dates once a week in my house. And then if I can swing it, I'll take myself out either to a coffee, to read, or to dinner, because I feel like that solo time for me is what I need to kind of come to the table ready to go. Although I do love a conversation with somebody else, I'm just like, I need to talk to myself sometimes. So scheduling self-care, whatever that means to you, fitness, really, really important. Staying sharp physically will also help everything else. Not only does working out help your memory, but it helps your body feel less like crap. And if you stay on top of your health, you have less health problems, which then will eliminate doctor's visits and time spent feeling like crap. You see where this is going? It's all connected. So yeah, journaling could be good for your mental wellness, running, getting your workout in, cardio for sure, going for walks, relaxing, whether that means reading or doing a puzzle or just like staring at the birds outside, and setting boundaries. In the beginning of the year, you might be very focused and not as social, but when it starts to get a little hot, people will be out in the streets, and it's important to not say yes to everything. When I was in London, I was saying yes to everything, and then I got super sick because one, germs, two, no sleep. And then I was like, oh yeah, I remember what this is. This is like my 20s all over again. So then I started staying my ass at home and watching some TV or taking a bath and just doing me. And you have to be okay with JOMO and develop the joy of missing out. Like, you have to be cool with knowing you're missing out, and not only being cool with it, but looking forward to missing out. And then your friends will be like, we went to this awesome party, and you'll be like, and I had an awesome bubble bath, boo-boo. I'm feeling great, didn't wake up hungover. And that, my friends, is what 31 years on this earth will do to you. Next tip. Making sure that you have motivational tools. We all face resistance, procrastination, the thick wall of lack of desire, laziness. Y'all know what I'm saying? And to overcome this, I have created a bit of a catchphrase. You can make your own. I made my own. I have two this month. One is, just get it done. Just get it done. And another one is, just 5 minutes. Because if I start something and say, just 5 minutes, I will start for just 5 minutes and likely continue. And if I don't and I only just do the 5 minutes, I'll be like, cool, that's all I set out to do anyways. So it's not a recipe for disaster. Here are some other ones that you could take. You can count down to 5 seconds and then just start doing whatever you're doing. And that's by Mel Robbins. You can use one that I used many, many years ago, which is,
my name is Joanna Franco and I have goals and I will not leave this place until I accomplish those goals.
Of course, you would swap out your name unless you do want to use my name, which would be hilarious. Another one is just one page. Just one page. If you're a creative and you're drawing or writing or doing anything that requires pages in general, it's a page at a time. And if you're on a fitness goal, it's just one step. Just one step. Or like, just put the sneakers on. Just put the clothes on. Anything that you could do to get yourself motivated. I think it's important to create a phrase, because that phrase will be top of mind when laziness hits. And laziness will freaking hit. It always does. It did this morning. And then my just get it done got me out of bed. And the last tip is to make plans, but don't be so hard on yourself if things change. I will plan even if I have to edit the plans, because I believe I will get further in my life, and I have, if I make a plan and it's in my calendar or it's on my notepad, it's in my journals, at least I'm aware of it. So awareness is step one to all of this. Planning is step two. Block things in your calendar, make those phone calls, schedule the appointments, reach out to those people. And again, it's all about elastic discipline, which means that you will be disciplined on some weeks and some weeks you won't, but it's okay. As long as you know where you're going, it's very unlikely that you will get completely off track. AKA draw yourself a roadmap and pick your catchphrase and let's make it happen. Now I'm curious, what is your mantra for the year? And do you have any planning tips that we need to know about? Let me know in the comment section or slide up in my DMs at @Joe_Franco and let me know. Again, don't forget to download the free planning template that is going to be in the description box. Have an above average week because you deserve it.
Hey, yo, come listen to my girl, man. What you doing? Shit.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.